Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up on a snowy Friday, brought to you by...
The Chuck and Julie Show. You always forget to say that.
The Chuck and Julie Show.
In case you were wondering, hey, brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Chinese Medicine and Acupuncture, happytrees.co, and also Denver Cynogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. All kinds of stuff to talk about. We've got Tina Peters on standby. We've got Randy Corcoran. We're expecting... He just got back from Mar-a-Lago. He got invited to go see the Trump announcement. Ours must have got lost in the tech stuff somehow. And then all kinds of fun. Merrick Garland, shocker here, has announced a special counsel will now be investigating Trump. Who knew? And then you guys are going to want to wait for this because it's Party Friday. We have a lot
of some good
stuff with the libs melting down over TikTok. But while we're waiting for Randy, why don't we go ahead and bring Tina up?
One of our real heroes in life, Tina Peters, clerk and recorder for Mesa County, being attacked from every angle for just checking on a machine. And it's a disgrace. But it's great to have her on anytime. We want to talk about some of the rallies. Tina, great to have you.
Hey, it's good to be here. How are you guys?
We're good. And Randy, I see he just here. Randy, we'll get to you in a second. So, you know, Chuck was at the Holyoke thing.
I went to Holyoke one. That was great. Here's the other one where we called you in particular. I mean, there's a group of people trying to set up a rally down in Greenwood Village, demanding the removal of Christy Burton Brown. At 11 o'clock, I'm told, but... who knows? If there is, go down there and support it.
Do you have any updates on that?
Well, yes, I do have views on that because she's failed the party, in my opinion. Yes. Somehow she knew that a leftist indictment had come down on me, and while I was speaking in Aspen. And was already putting out a press release for me to step out of the race. And it was obvious that she was supporting Pam Anderson, who we all know is the Center for Tech and Civic Life secretary and one of their five directors. So, you know, I've had my own issues with her. Other people have. I think there's a lot to this. You know, you've got to stand up for not only the grassroots, but the patriots that love this country and the likes of Pam Anderson and those that were opposing this country. Literally 94% of the $470 million that Zuckerberg put into Center for Tech and Civic Life, that she is the secretary and one of their five directors, went to counties that Biden won. And you can't cover that up.
No.
And that is what it is.
No. There's a battle. There's a battle in Nebraska that is just finished. There's a battle in Wyoming that finished up about a year ago where the Patriots have taken over the party structures away from the establishment. And we couldn't have had a worse showing. I'm not sure what
if they won, right? Or who's winning?
They lost everything. And so they want to, you know, just do it again for us. And then we'll make sure we'll have no party left.
Well, there's no trust in the Republican Party right now in some of these states. And, you know, that's not to say that all Republicans are all the GOP is bad. I mean, there's some places in this country where the GOP has supported their candidates. But you know, a lot of people were speaking out about, you know, let's just start a new party. Let's just start. And you know what? No, I'm not willing to give up the Republican Party.
Right.
And I think that was evident with Trump announcing. But, you know, let's boot out these people that aren't that are interlopers, that shouldn't be there. And a lot of people feel like Christy Burton Brown is one of them. So
I agree.
There is something going on that people should know about or in specific or.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the conflict between the Dominion and the GOP in Colorado. I mean, you know, there's just, I haven't seen a lot of support unless you're willing to not talk about election integrity in this state. Right. And, you know, if someone talks about election integrity, all of a sudden the GOP is as a whole, will not support them. And I think it's a travesty. I mean, you have to be blind, deaf and dumb to understand that there is election fraud. It is going on. It doesn't need to be proven any longer. And so people that don't acknowledge and address it are very suspect.
And what a Neil Mathai from the floor nominated you for the party chair. And I think you'd make a great party chair.
My question too. Any thoughts on if once we oust them, who should we put in?
Well, I think that's up to the people. You know, I've never presumed to want power or money. I've spent probably all my fortune or my retirement, let's say. I've risked everything for this cause. You know, I could have run again for clerk. I chose instead to jump in to run for Secretary of State and be cheated out of that race. Right now, we are going after the breach of contract. But I think it's up to the people, you know, whoever the people have confidence in. If God calls me for whatever position, I'm willing to step in. But that has to be the people.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Well,
that's
where can people find out? Because I know there's ongoing efforts. We've got Randy come up in a second. He just was in another deposition in the Comer case, right? There are ongoing fights and with you as well. Where can people find out more? Do you have a place where people can help if they want to?
TinaPetersForColorado.com. We're still in the fight for a legal recount. It was not done.
Yes.
I was also called in on that Coomer versus Lindell deposition. They asked me 491 questions. And, you know, we don't answer criminals. And so I invoked the Fifth, and it's because we don't have to answer those questions. That is not our, you know, we have no obligation to give them anything. And I will say, and Randy can either, can chime in about his experience with them, but there are about five questions about any kind of question about, I think he's accused of character defamation or something like that, Mike Lindell. There were probably about five questions. And the rest was all about who's involved in the movement, trying to, it had nothing to do with defamation of character, in my opinion.
Right, all right. Well, Tina, thank you for your time. You're thank great. You for the work. And hopefully people will be calling on you. So,
all right.
We'll be talking. Thank you. All right. Appreciate it. All right,
let's go to my colleague, former colleague, I guess that's more correct, Randy Corporate, who's on the road or on somewhere. Hey, Randy.
Yeah, I was at the office. Hey, Randy.
Your forever colleague. we ain't done yet, brother. We ain't done yet.
710 CanUS host, Republican National Committee person, National Committee person.
On Saturdays from 4 to 7, it's one of the few Patriot shows left at 710, along with Backbone Radio.
So Saturday, saying you have a great show.
Yeah,
so.
Saturday and Sunday night is the only time worth listening.
As this being Party Friday, ask you the fun stuff. So you got to go to, not even got to go, you were invited to go to Mar-a-Lago. Did you
beg
to go? Trump said we can't do it unless you're here.
Yeah, right.
Tell us about that. That must have been cool, I would think.
Well, it was phenomenal. My show actually starts at 5 on Saturdays. Oh, back on radio, 4 o'clock on Sundays. And Matt does a great job. Yeah. But I was just wrapping up my show last Saturday when I got this text message that said, did you see the email? And I wrote back and said, what email? To come to the Trump rally. And I said, no. And before I left the studio, or the Trump announcement, before I left the studio, it was in my spam. And she resent it.
Of course.
Yeah. And it was from the Trump team. And there were, you know, limited invitations for, there were a lot of people there standing and media and everything, mm-hmm. but for the seated crowd that was reserved. And so I was just so grateful to be a part of that. And of course, I said yes.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Coomer deposition. I said yes, based on the fact that I knew that another party was filing a motion for protective order in the Coomer deposition. Mm-hmm. So I was confident, believed with the entirety of my 25-year law practice being, that the deposition on Wednesday in Austin, Texas, was going to go away. On Thursday, I'm sorry, in Austin, Texas, was going to go away. So we have this wonderful Trump rally. I'm getting ready to go to my plane, which goes to Charlotte and then to Denver, when this 18-page federal judge court order comes down.
Oh, no.
That creates all of these protections with regard to the deposition, but says the deposition is still on. So I literally, the target point from Palm Beach is Charlotte. So I've got the last seat to Austin.
Wow.
Got in Wednesday night about 8:30. My client came and met me at the hotel. He lives about 100 miles from the deposition. And so we prepped, and we'd already gone through hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents. And then we wound up having a 7-hour deposition in Charlie Kane's beautiful downtown San Antonio office yesterday, which didn't end until 7 p.m.
Oh, my God.
We were there for 9 hours.
Wow.
And there were a lot of breaks, and because we had flooded them with documents, you know, we gave them time to review some of them and all of that. So it was extraordinary. But the Trump thing was phenomenal. A lot of people there that I recognized. There were, I don't know, 10 or 15 people that were invited from the Republican National Committee. And I don't know if maybe all of them were invited. Only 10 or 15 showed up. I don't know who all was invited.
I'm sure just you guys were, just the top ones. Just
when the Trump was electric.
Talking about that, there's a letter put out in support of Ronald McDaniel, signed on by, I guess, a majority of Republican National Committee men. Were you on that letter or not?
No, I did not sign any letter. In fact, I've been asked multiple times about that. And, you know, I want to see who throws their name in the hat. Yeah. I love the idea of Lee Zeldin making for it. You know, I've got two schools of thought that I'm utilizing right now. Who else wants to do it versus Ronna promised 2 terms. But there is an argument that with the presidential coming up in 2 years, continuity of leadership, you know, all of those things are important. I don't like career politicians, and I don't like career anything. So,
yeah. Well, what my biggest thing is.
Let me do this one. There was a wit who said that, you know, you really got the Max going. You got the McConnell, you've got McDaniel,
McCarthy,
and it equals Mac failure. And so we're getting McConnell back. It doesn't matter how awful he is. And it looks like we'll get McCarthy. And do we ever get people? I mean,
that's the thing. To Tina Peters' point, it's like, on top of everything else, they lost, right? I mean, so yes, we won the House, but it could have been better. I think there clearly are people in some of these leadership positions who don't get it. And I mean, that'd be my biggest thing. It's like, let's get somebody in there who seems to understand the mechanics and the processes that we need to do to win these days.
Well, Julie, I certainly agree with Tina's point, especially here in Colorado, about the edict from on top to stay away from election stuff. I did a promo for my show last week that said, you know, the red wave certainly didn't happen, and we didn't do well in Colorado, and how come? And I asked the question of the George Bush, Karl Rove, McConnell, Wadhams candidates all got nominated in Colorado.
Right.
And that was part of my promo. And I guess I didn't hear it, but I got everybody reported that Peter just lambasted.
It was awful.
You be so evil and mean? I didn't say anything personal about Dick. And George W. Bush came in to fundraise for Joe O'Day. Karl Rove was here twice. McConnell supported him, said it's the right kind of candidate for Colorado. And of course, Dick Wadhams demanded that we accept all of these candidates. So I wasn't wrong about any of it. I just, it's bizarre.
Go back. When did Tom Tancredo run for governor?
2014, I think. Yeah.
2014. You have to go back there about Peter's statements about about Dick Wallace. Yeah. He was just screaming at him in the studio, yelling and calling him every name in the world.
Yeah. Our guys never get a chance.
No.
Even top quality Tom Tancredo level, previously elected presidential candidate caliber candidates get taken out by these people every single time.
And you know what? I would have less of a hassle with it if they actually then won in the general, but they don't. Nobody likes him. Republicans don't like him. Independents don't like him. Democrats don't like
him. Kids don't like him.
I mean, yeah, kids
don't
like him.
Small dogs don't like him.
Puppies and horses don't like him. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And hopefully, you know, well, what do you think? I mean, will we be able, what are you hearing in terms of who might, like you said, you're waiting to see what happens to the RNC, and I know that's the RNC. Any thoughts on what's happening here in Colorado? Because when do we decide? January? Is that when?
No, March.
Well, the meeting is in March.
Okay.
And so but of course, you know, these are very serious campaigns now. People should be making plans, and if they're thinking about it, you know, getting support and all of that. And I know that Christy hasn't made an announcement about whether she's even going to continue to run. So it could be that she decides to go a different direction. And then it'll be a wide open field, and that'll be very, very interesting. I've heard a number of names, none of whom have authorized the release of their name yet. I've heard Tina talked about, I've heard others talked about.
Yeah, I've heard lots of good ones. What it can't be is someone who is unclear where they stand. We've had enough of the Steve Houses turning on people. We've had enough of KBB saying she's from the grassroots when instead she's been, couldn't have been more establishment if she tried. So we got to have somebody, whether it's a Tina Peters or Dave Williams, or it's there are many others.
Well, remember Dick Wadhams, he was the last one that got us a Republican governor. So maybe we should give him.
He was for that all the time, by the way.
But don't you love it? These people right now, they're in a concerted effort to try and do away with us, to slam us.
Right.
Yes.
I've gotten emails today from people saying Dick Wadhams has been at every Republican event. He's scheduled to be at the Arapahoe County Republican breakfast. So anybody who wants to come. And he's going to give the same, it's because of Trump, it's because of these election deniers, we've got to get rid of them, purge them from the party. But they did that again this year, as far as our candidates go. And you guys know, in spite of my better judgment as Republican National Committee man, I felt obligated to promote every Republican and ask for everybody to vote for all the Republicans. But it didn't make any difference.
No. Well, and again, I mean, remember Chuck has taught, when he talked to Christy Burton Brown, you know, about ballot harvesting, she laughed, right? So at least.
I got elected along with a lot of other people, or 20 other people, the executive committee, including Randy. And so the first day I walked in, talked to her and said, you know, we can't win elections as long as there's ballot harvesting, if we don't do it. You can't just have one side shoot three pointers and not the other side. And I said, have you ever collected? She just laughed. She thought it was funny.
But fortunately, people get it now, I think, on a national level.
Finally, they get it.
This has been the topic of Charlie Kirk's show ever since the recent Arizona outreach.
Right.
Is we've got to, and I really give credit to Chuck and you guys, because Chuck's been saying this for a decade. I guess it's about 10 years now since we've had all mail ballot, right? Was it?
Well, 2014 it came in.
2014, okay.
But we had the super duper when we added ballot harvesting in 2018. When Polis set up, you know, all those centers, all the massive ballot harvesting. And since then, you have no chance. And I'm glad to hear Charlie Kirk change his mind, because I heard him saying, you know, everybody vote on election day. That's insane. I mean,
he has now seen what you and I have, you especially, but I've been hinting at, and you've been punching at for a long time, of how they do it in the weeks leading up to the election.
Right. Well, and you know, I'm just a hammer on Peter one more time, and then I'll drop and move on. But you know, we had a discussion with Peter, because he came in to do his column, and we were talking about ballot harvesting, and he kept saying it's illegal. I'm like, no, it's not illegal.
We describe how you do ballot harvesting. He said, can you get an affidavit? Somebody said they did that. I said, they all do it.
The law says you can get
you can see him. But nobody's told me that before.
And then
the videos are out there from Arizona of where they just set hidden cameras up of people just funneling ballots into the boxes.
Oh, yeah. Well, exactly. Exactly. So we'll see. Well, let me kind of on the national thing, because I think the Trump announcement is big. Want to just get your take real quick, because you're a lawyer like Chuck. I know you were shocked to find out that Merrick Garland is going to appoint a special, or has appointed a special counsel to investigate.
Not
Trump.
For Hunter Biden. No.
I was on the plane, so I have not heard the announcement, and I haven't heard what they're targeting Trump for now. I'm aware of the appointment. What are they targeting him for?
They're targeting Trump for obstruction. So you notice that the Washington Post had a column where they were leaking. It was leaked from sources saying that actually there really wasn't anything they found. There was just Trump mementos.
Letters from Kim Il-Jung.
Stuff like that. But they're going to get him for obstruction. They're targeting him for obstruction. And then also for some bizarre obstruction in the January 6th stuff.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's not, you know, and also for being mean to cats and small children. I mean, it's just, you know,
and Ron DeSantis
and Youngkin, and making fun of Youngkin.
Yeah, right. I pulled my hair out a little on that one. I didn't quite understand the necessity for that.
No, neither did I.
I don't think this happens on the same day that the Biden administration DOJ says that they're going to give immunity to the crown prince of Saudi Arabia and the Khashoggi death, which I thought we cared about, but apparently not.
Well, I agree with that move.
I
think dismembering a Washington Post reporter should be allowed in some cities.
You've now been kicked off your podcast, Chuck.
No, Julie's kicking him off.
Raider's kicking him off.
Did you guys watch the Trump announcement?
Yes.
Because being there, I thought it was a little long. Wasn't surprised at that. But I really loved the tone. I love the forward looking. And he still took some shots and had some fun. And obviously goes impromptu a fair amount. But he looked good. He sounded good. The family was just awesome together. Barron is a towering
6'7". He's 6'7" at 16.
Wow. So I'm excited about it. I mean, and you know, if Ron DeSantis gets in, let the best man win and slug it out. A lot of folks in Florida, including my driver, who's a Cuban, 20 some year American citizen from Cuba, advocate for Trump, campaigned for him, and is very connected with Republican Party down there, I guess, and stuff. But he doesn't think DeSantis is going to do it.
Well, DeSantis, if you ever read Conservative Trio's, Sundance has been indicating for really a long time, well before I thought I was crazy, that all the people around DeSantis now are Decepticons. They're all like Griffin from Hedge Fund Guys, and all the people who want illegal immigration and want to move the party back to the George Bush are all surrounding him now. And he says that's who he listens to every day.
But I agree with you, Randy. I thought the speech was a little bit long.
I thought it was very long. I thought it maybe it served its purpose of outlining things. You really want to make them a lot shorter, punchier for an announcement like that.
And though, you know, I mean, he was going to be attacked if he was fiery. He was going to be attacked if he was dull. I thought he sounded, it was almost like maybe Mike Huckabee was saying, you know, like a State of the Union address. And that's what it reminded me of, too, outlining.
I thought the State of the Union address was better.
Well, yes.
I thought the State of the Union address was pretty good, actually.
I agree with you, though, too. If DeSantis goes in, who knows? We'll find out, right? Yeah. And then we'll have a primary, and then somebody
and
will
then
run.
Some, and they'll rig it.
Tina will have to file another lawsuit. For a hand count. So.
Well, I'm praying for a couple of things. I hope that Carrie Lake, I know there are RNC lawyers there. Harmeet Dhillon is there. All the people around her want them to pursue. And I don't know the mechanisms in Arizona for not machine recounts, but actual paper recounts, just to make sure that piece was accurate. And then a lawsuit for the fact that the statistic was updated today, 48% of the tabulators failed that day.
Right.
And then the way they were directing people out and dumping one set of ballots into a certain box where they found other ballots that had already been counted, it should be a do-over. And to get a judge to do that is unlikely, but it would just,
it's interesting, they just did that in Berlin, where they had an election that, you know, a lot of strange instances in the court. Who knows what is good, but we're having another election. And they said, you know, we can't have elections in which so much goes wrong, so much is in question, so that no one believes in the election. And I think if there's any chance of that, it's maybe today. It wouldn't have been last year, before.
Having people watched all that unfold in real time, I think you're right. Well, I don't know how much you can answer, but can you talk just real briefly before we let you go? Tina Peters mentioned she was asked like 400 some questions at the Coomer deposition, the lawsuit, the defamation thing. And she said, to me, it sounds like they're just on giant fishing expeditions trying to intimidate people. I mean, any updates on that?
Well, the purpose of the deposition I was in yesterday was to defend Max McGuire, who used to do the podcast, Conservative Daily Podcast, with Joe Altman. And they've had a falling out, and they've had some nasty public words, and Max has questioned Joe on, his story about the election and all of that. So I made a standing objection about lines of questioning. Just, these are not, and we're not even a party to the Lindell lawsuit. He's just a witness I was defending the deposition of. But I still made objections. It was just get Joe. And none of it was relevant in my mind to the Lindell suit. So, I just made some standing objections. You get a lot of leeway in a deposition. But it was 7 hours, my God. They used almost every minute of it, and we were there for 9 hours to get that done. It was brutal and tedious, and they had we'd given them thousands, well, at least 1,000 pages, I would guess, of documents that they had to go through in a short period of time. So.
Well, good for you for fighting it, for you and Tina, because I think what they're trying to do clearly is wear us down, right? They're trying to just discourage us. They're trying to say, okay, it's just easier to keep my mouth shut. And so thank goodness for people like you who don't, do you know what I mean? Because that's what it takes.
Well, it was interesting for me. One thing that was very interesting is, I'm a defendant in one of the Coomer lawsuits, right. Me and Salem Broadcasting. And it was very interesting to see some of the narratives that the Coomer legal team has about my involvement in the early stages of all of this that are going to be pretty easy to disprove. So I don't know where they've gotten their information, or if they're just trying to craft a narrative that, keeps us at bay for a while.
Right.
But there were a lot of things that were inaccurate that I look forward to cleaning up at some point. One thing I want to ask you guys real quick, I know I'm almost out of time, but why in the world, with 511 votes separating Lauren Boebert and Aspen Adam, would he concede?
Because it doesn't matter.
Because
conceding means nothing. Conceding is a nice kind of.
But it's an automatic recount.
Well, here's an
automatic recount. So it still occurs.
This is my theory because he said, so it's automatic, so he didn't have to. And then he kind of went on to talk a little bit about what a pain it was and how unnecessary, and it was costing taxpayers money to do the recount. So I think they're aiming that kind of stuff at people like Tina, at people like Carrie Lake. They're trying to make anyone who wants a recount is just mean and wasting money.
Because
he knew it wasn't going to win anyway.
He doesn't know. I mean, but it is just a PR thing. It has no legal effect. If all of a sudden it turns, then you go, oh, I didn't know that happened. Great, thanks. I mean, it's happened before. People have conceded and then come back and said, oh.
So the recount will occur regardless?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an automatic recount.
Okay, so it's just politics then.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Well, because I thought the reason maybe they didn't want to concede is they didn't want a recount, that the numbers are fraudulent up there.
Well, that could be. Yeah. That could be. They don't want recount.
I would just.
Well, but recounts don't. All they do is show you, did the machine record what the machine recorded? Yeah, I mean, they're not really
Step, but the next step after that to the loser can be to demand a paper ballot recount.
Yeah, and right. We found
like
out.
Tina's trying to still get.
As Tina found out, they don't have to do that either.
I mean, they do, but they just don't. So.
Yeah, no, they ran out the clock on her.
Yeah.
So have you had any time to think about what you're going to be talking about tomorrow on your show?
Well, I certainly want to talk about my experience at Mar-a-Lago and this. I haven't heard it yet. I want to hear the Mike Pence speech because it sounds like he's running.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got the book out now. And I just want to remind people of what really happened on January 6th when it comes to Mike Pence. He was not a hero.
No. He just wants to sell books.
He never was. He wasn't when he was governor of Indiana. He kowtowed. I mean, he's awful. And everybody's always known it. Nobody likes him. So, you know, he'll get 2% of the
money. He'll get his book deal out there. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Who should Donald Trump pick for vice president? His running mate.
Oh, mine? I think if I were Donald Trump, I would do Ron DeSantis.
Wonderful, but I just don't think DeSantis will do
it. Carrie Lake?
That would be exciting. But
I thought Winston Sears would have been great.
Yeah.
And then she came out and said what she said. Oh, well, never mind.
What do you think?
I don't know yet. Ron DeSantis would be the ideal. Just think of 12 possible years of the two of them back to back. My Lord.
Yeah, that would be good. All right, Randy, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Stayed at home. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Randy Corcoran there. You guys, we've had a ton of comments, and I apologize. We haven't been able to get anything. This is from Anna, though. If the recount does happen, we must demand they do it by state statute and make sure 100% of the people show up at the clerk's office in advance and public demand it. And Randy, if you're still on there, everybody's saying thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, this being Party Friday, well, did we briefly want to talk about the Merrick Garland thing? Or?
Well, you know, it's a joke, and we've now descended into a third world country where you go after your political opponents no matter what, and Merrick Garland is a disgrace.
Yeah.
An utter moral and ethical disgrace, and so is Ray after yesterday.
Look at, like I said, told Randy, they're looking at obstruction, right? At not handing over the documents, which they apparently now acknowledge were worthless to anybody but Trump, basically. But he obstructed. So in their world, really pleading not guilty is obstruction, right? I mean, that's obstruction. The same thing with January 6th. So I think what they want to do with it is they'll probably indict him. Mm-hmm. But I think they just want to, it's another headache. It's another thing you want to do. Then you know the never Trumpers are going to jump up and down and say, see, you can't run. He can't run because he's under indictment. What we have to do is just not be fooled by any of those people. I don't think people are anymore. It's just all a bunch of noise, but it comes. I think maybe that's why he announced when he did too.
Yes,
that he got the jump on that.
Yes,
so
I think that's absolutely right.
But it being Party Friday, guys, I wanted to talk about something that's kind of fun. That's been kind of going on Twitter. I know maybe you saw Elon Musk like earlier put out a thing saying, look, we're going to start working hard at Twitter. Respond yes to this, you know, if you want to reply hard, if you want to work hard, and if you don't, just don't bother coming into work. And so all the libs are melting down because the Twitter people are going to have to work, so they're all quitting.
Which is really the intent.
Which was the intent. Well, exactly. But I don't know what they think they're going to do. Tens of thousands of, I mean, you've got Facebook, Google, Amazon. I mean, tens of thousands of high-tech workers have been laid off in the past few months.
Can live on the Bitcoin
thing. Well, no, they're going to have to all become trans and move to San Francisco.
Yeah.
So they can get free money.
Yeah, that's an opportunity.
And that's what we should do. Well, but in the ongoing light of that, the libs are melting down, and it's been pretty funny watching what's happened. I'm going to take you a little bit in the way back machine. Remember when he first took over Twitter and they were talking about people being fired? And I don't know if you guys remember it or not, but the corporate media was outside the Twitter office someplace and breathlessly reporting on these two guys who walked out, and they were carrying boxes. And they said, look, we worked at Twitter. We just got fired. Mm-hmm. And they said their names were Ligma and Johnson, right? And I didn't get it, but every 11-year-old boy out in the world got it. And it turns out later that Ligma Johnson is
if you say it fast enough,
it's a Twitter meme or a internet meme for, and cover your kids' ears, lick my
Johnson,
basically, right? And so these stupid reporters fell for these two guys, right? So what Elon Musk then did is he trolled everybody back. I think this was yesterday. He posted a picture, and the story gets better, so hang in with me. He posted a picture of himself with Ligma and Johnson. Yeah,
he rounded them up.
And which took some effort, and pretended like he rehired them. So Thomas, if we could please play, this is it. So this is Elon Musk tweeted this, saying, welcoming back Ligma and Johnson. And he said, you know, I know what I've made a mistake, and I've made a mistake, so I'm hiring these guys back. Okay. So it gets even better then. So this stupid reporter, and I'm sorry, there's no other word for it, at the Hill TV is looking at that, and she's saying, see, Elon Musk is firing all of these poor Twitter reporters.
Prematurely.
Prematurely. She said he prematurely fired those two guys, and he's had to hire them back.
Prematurely. fired Lyman Johnson.
Missing the fact that the whole thing was a troll, but this real, it's hard to believe this really happened. If we could please play the Hill TV soundbite. Listen to this idiotic reporter.
This is about, is it because he has created such a poor working environment, has ruined the relationship between him and his employees so much that he's not able to do the job? Because I saw him, he was tweeting out pictures of him standing with two employees who had fired prematurely and then rehired with his arms around them, kind of like, hey, I know I shouldn't admit to my mistakes. It seems like he's in a desperate situation where he's realized he actually needs somebody, and the single genius myth is just that, a myth, and he actually needs these employees to work for him. And the employees didn't look so happy in that photograph, I gotta say.
Give me a freaking break. What an idiot reporter. It was a joke.
I
wish she had said Ligma Johnson. No, I mean, nobody, number one, has she not done any of her homework? Because this has been out there. I mean, even I knew about it, right? And so this has been out there forever. That whole breathless interviews with Ligma and Johnson fell apart as soon as all the 11-year-old boys pointed out that was an internet joke. Because even I said to Rev, do you know what Ligma Johnson? And he goes, yeah. And his little 11-year-old laugh. So she missed all that. Then she just uses it to attack Elon Musk. And again, you don't hear her say, neither does the host say, no, that was
he didn't get it either. You
know. Employees. Those are not real employees. This is just kind of fun. Yeah. Like Sandra says, wow, she didn't get it. Duh. And from Charlene, love Elon Musk. Yes, Julie, I just got it. They were pranksters. Absolutely. They were absolute pranksters. And then Elon Musk pranked everybody back by pretending to hire Ligma and Johnson back. And then this stupid reporter says, well, it serves him right. He's letting all those poor employees go. And they didn't even look happy to be there. Our TJ says, you cannot go online in video games now without a Ligma joke. Yeah. Well, here's a Ligma joke. We've got one for you. And we got even more of those stuff coming up.
Even more. But this is a superannuated Friday afternoon show.
That's right. This is The Simpsons. If we could please play The Simpsons soundbite.
Hello, Moe's Tavern. First place of the Rob Roy.
Can I speak to Mr. Johnson?
Johnson?
First name Ligma.
Wait a minute. Hey, guys, Ligma Johnson. Come on, guys, Ligma Johnson. Hey, come on, I need your help over here. Any of you Ligma Johnson? Wait a minute. It's you, isn't it, you little jerk? I'm gonna get my hands on you. I'm gonna gut you like a fish. And I'm gonna take your salary too.
But it says something about the corporate media, okay, that she had no clue that this was going on right now. And that somehow and she was going to use this Elon Musk. I mean, if you thought the left had no sense of humor, which I have thought, this just proves it right there. So no sense of humor. It's ridiculous. So they're all freaking out. Meanwhile, I don't know if you guys are on Twitter, but it's working just fine. It has all time high usage.
Well, as you brought out, you know, they have the thing that 10% of the workers do 90% of the work, or you can fire 90% of the workers, and what's left, you multiply by itself, and that's how much the work they do. It's amazing. You know, they don't need all these people who don't come into work, that don't get the free lunch, that... It's just amazing.
And this from Leo. Did you see Ligma went down to the Bahamas and was just leaving FTX saying he'd just gotten fired from his second job in a month? Well, you know, let's talk briefly about FTX. That's the cryptocurrency thing, you know, where they somehow have managed to lose $1 billion in customer or their clients' assets, or $2 billion.
Billions of billions.
So we also saw the pictures, you know, with Maxine Waters with her arms around I guess SBF. Is that the guy? Number one. And
Sam Friedman. Bankman.
Yeah, Bankman-Fried.
Bankman-Fried.
Yeah.
SBF.
And I mean, you saw the pictures of him and his girlfriend who ran the other.
Who did she remind you of?
I think I give them my money.
She has me looking exactly like somebody. I can't figure if it's a you know, a person I know, or it's a media personality, but it's going to come to me at like 3 a.m. of who she reminds me of.
Though these guys.
She lives what she called a Chinese polyamorous harem. You go, oh, yeah. Well,
Chinese?
One, yeah.
As opposed to,
yeah, well,
I don't know if that's
Chinese,
racist or something.
I don't know what those kind of things are.
And the whole thing is that it's clear nobody was looking into this. There were no regulations, which is why, of course, he's giving the Democrats $400 million and then some in campaign contributions, right? They don't want any regulations because you can't run a Ponzi scheme if you have regulations, right? You can't. They had, like, apparently no books,
no, but
he was going to be
in charge of the regulations. He was going to help write the regulations, which would have made sure.
Blowing in the chaos.
Yeah.
But you'll be comforted to know that now Maxine is leading up the current congressional
investigation.
What the heck?
Yes, sir.
At SBX or FTX. So I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of it there. But here's the one thing I want to know, not want to know, but it wasn't just Democrats. He also gave to the
rhinos,
to Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Liz Cheney, people like that, right? All the people who voted to impeach Trump also got his money. And he clearly, in some of the later interviews, said, yeah, all this philanthropic stuff is just a joke. I just kind of want to have power and make a ton of money and have a 40. I mean, he drove a Camry, but he has a $40 million condo in the Bahamas. So,
in the Albany Club.
I mean, to anyone who was looking with their eyes open at all, it's clear that this whole thing was a scam. Nobody cared because they were all getting a ton of money. Meanwhile, you have like investors, and, you know, not just Tom Brady and Giselle, because I don't know how much they would have invested, but regular people investing. But you've got all the Democrats and the rhinos keeping millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. I think they should have to give it back to the investors. Right? I mean, they've declared they filed for bankruptcy now, right?
Well, the trustee can try to claw it back from them.
Yeah, they do. That's my next question. Can the trustees say, hey, all you politicians, you have to return that
they
money?
Can. I mean, well, probably get killed, but yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the one thing, though, Tucker Carlson is right about that, because they were such big donors. Well, the guy is still scheduled to speak.
Scheduled. I mean,
but he's still on the flyer.
Well, I'd keep him on the flyer too. If it was my event, I'd keep him on there too.
I can't fly back to the United States. Be a little politically or financially or criminally risky here. Facebook. Oh, this is from Charlene. Facebook won't let me post about FTX money laundering. Said there's absolutely no truth to it. Oh, you're right, Charlene. Maybe it was just theft, is what it was, Charlene. Yeah. You're using the wrong word here. It was just theft that they were running through Ukraine to funnel back to people so everyone could pat themselves on the back. Well, you aren't seeing much of coverage of it in the mainstream media at all. And on this one thing, I mean, even Alex Berenson, who I think is no really Republican fan necessarily, is pointing out that it is the citizen journalists on Twitter, thanks to Elon Musk, because, you know, it would have been banned previously.
Right, right.
But it's the citizen journalists who have been able to unravel some of these things.
Well, they were able to get a hold of an article, an obscure article showing the balance sheet of the sister corporation, which was obviously way underwater. And everybody, wait a minute, if the sister corporation's way underwater and
that's what they were giving the money to. So
yeah,
where was the money going? So the corporate media, going back to the Ligma Johnson thing, it's like those employees deserve their jobs back and they didn't look happy about it. It's like, what an idiot, you know? So I guess maybe we shouldn't worry because it's hard to believe anything they say too. I could play the other soundbite.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got a few minutes left here. Well, we've got more than a few minutes. So this is, again, so Twitter, several more thousand of them have been
let go
because they didn't want to work. And the Babylon Bee, which, by the way, is now allowed back on Twitter, Well, good for that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I say, although Trump hasn't been, I don't know if the Trump has come back on. Yeah. You know, here's what I'm going to say before I go to this. This is what I think. I think that it's not that Elon Musk doesn't want to allow Trump back on. I suspect that there might be some sort of negotiating going on, because if you're Trump, you don't want to go on Twitter because then that hurts your platform. But if you're Twitter, you don't want to say, we're banning Trump. I suspect that there are some conversations going on in a way, which I would think is smart. They're all business people, to mutually benefit both sides. I don't think that Elon Musk is saying, I won't let Donald Trump back on. Well, he'd earlier said he wanted to. And then Donald Trump said, well, I'm busy. You know, I'm on this. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, that's your take.
That's my take. Well, I'm always right on those kinds of things.
Always.
But here, if we could play. So this is a parody of a fired Twitter person being interviewed for a real job. If we could please play the Babylon Bee, if we could play the Twitter interview.
Yeah, come on in. You know, you're 20 minutes late. Yeah, Twitter, we didn't have, like, start times. Schedules are a remnant of an oppressive colonialist regime.
Oppressive colonialist regimes? Okay. Well, look, the work here is pretty demanding. We need to find someone who can inspect all of our outgoing... Miss, are you okay?
I'm sorry. I'm not really used to bosses using trigger words like demanding and inspect and work.
But this is a job.
We don't say that either.
Then how do you get any work? So how do you get any labor stuff, production, the handwork, network, sorry, stuff done? How do you get any stuff done?
Streep's got tons of stuff done on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Well, what would you say you did there?
I was responsible for so much as a content moderation specialist. Some days during my afternoon cornhole sesh, I'd get a text telling me I had to ban someone.
So then you'd have to actually, like, walk over to your computer and ban them?
No. I would just hit a button on my phone, and then bam! Babylon Bee, banned. Libs of TikTok, banned. Steve from Fruitport, Michigan, you know, he banned.
And then later on, it's out there on Twitter. If you watch the whole thing, it's pretty funny, because he says something about... something more about work. Oh, you know, she says, do you want me to show up in the office? And he's like, yes. It's a factory. You have to show up here. And she's like, well, that's a deal breaker. And gets up and leaves. I have a feeling these poor young people are going to find out the hard way. You know, we're in a recession. There's inflation. Tens of thousands of them have been laid off.
What you put down on your resume that you worked at Twitter? You go, oh, I worked at an internet company that was very big.
Yeah. You would say, no, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't. Charlene, thank you. I'm laughing so hard. That's funny. Yeah, from Thomas, I'm just a businessman doing business. It's like, it's just, yeah, that's the SBF guy or whatever, the FTX. Too many acronyms, CIA, something like that. So it's been
the three initials, whether it's a corporation or a government agency.
That's right.
It's bad news.
I think that they're in for a rude awakening. And I think it's going to be hard for them, but because they're all going back to their parents' houses now. And can you imagine some of these people going back to your house as a parent? You're like, no. You can't.
I've got plenty of Bitcoins. Oh,
yeah. They're not worth anything anymore. So, well, we'll see. I mean, actually we should do a show on that too, because that's a whole interesting topic, but so much going on. I mean, we'll see with the Republicans now. I think that's great, launching investigations into Joe Biden. So then the DOJ launches an investigation into Trump. Meanwhile, the judge today also ruled that some hundreds of pages of documents about some of the John and Jane Does, who are the interested party wanting everything sealed in the Ghislaine Maxwell case, that's going to be released too. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see. Interesting times. Yay. You know, you never hate it when people actually have free speech. And I think Elon Musk has been, I will give him this. I don't think he's not our savior, right? So who knows what he's doing or not doing, but at least so far, number one, it's been extremely entertaining, right?
That most of all. I mean, these days it's anything for a laugh. I mean, you know, to watch some of the Elon, you laugh, you feel so much better after most days you're just shaking your head about.
Makes it even more funny when the liberals don't even get it, right? When they become the butt of their own jokes, it makes it even more hilarious. So we'll have to see. And Donald Trump back on Twitter or Truth Social with Elon Musk, who knows? That could be pretty entertaining. Next week, I want to look into Mark Poff. We might have him on. I haven't told you. This is a surprise.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's a bizarre murder case at the University of Idaho.
The stabbings?
Yeah, the stabbings. Is he
part of that?
Mark, well, I'm not sure. He has some interesting insights. Mark is part of everything.
Anyway. It was part of what? The investigation or the murder?
The investigation. I don't know that he's part of the investigation, but what he was talking about.
He does
about,
have a hunting knife, though.
Yeah. We don't know that. We don't want to set them on him. He was talking about, though, how they're going to be able to use cell phone records. And I have mixed feelings on this, because on the one hand, so the police, and they did that in a case in Aurora, right? There was an Aurora arson, and they were able to solve that with a homicide by just sort of going through random cell phone numbers and using algorithms to figure out who was there. So part of me is like, it's kind of an invasion of privacy. But on the other hand, is it any different than looking through surveillance cameras to see who's walking by? It's a tricky kind of concept. So we'll talk about that. Plus, I think cases like it is an interesting case. There was, you might say, how could they stab four people? But remember, there was a case at the restaurant and bar right next to Glendale, where four people were stabbed to death. Remember that?
You it can was a stab Puma? People to death.
Well, they
do it in London a lot, you know, because they don't allow guns. Everybody has knives, so they kill each other with knives. And no, it's...
Well, and that's cheery thought, Chuck. It's party.
Yeah, that's right. Let's play that. Let's play that Simpson thing.
All right. Well, end on that. Okay, one more time, the Simpson thing, and then we'll say goodbye. If we could play, Thomas, if you're there and ready, the Simpson video.
Hello, Moe's Tavern. First place of the Rob Roy.
Can I speak to Mr. Johnson?
Johnson?
First name, Lima.
Wait a minute. Hey, guys, lick my Johnson. Come on, guys, lick my Johnson. Hey, come on, I need your help over here. Any of you lick my Johnson?
Wait a minute. It's you, isn't it, you little jerk? When I get my hands on you, I'm going to cut you like a fish. And I'm going to take my gun over it, too.
That's the way to end the show. All right, everybody, take care. We'll see you on Monday.